Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody that is here today. We have some visitors with us. We're very, want to give you a warm welcome. Glad that you are worshiping with us. We give a shout out to those watching online. We have a number of people that watch us very faithfully online each week. A little shout out to the Lowrys who are in Pahrump. Jamie Lynn Helmers in Arizona, RC and Carolyn, who used to worship here with us, Tanya, they seem to watch almost every week, and we're very glad to be worshiping with you, even though it's online. So have some announcements and prayer requests. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in this next classroom, or in this next room right here. There's a sign-up sheet for putting together boxes for children in an orphanage. We do that every Christmas, and we need a count of the ladies that are going to be participating in that to know how many of the plastic boxes that we'll be sending out. A few that we need to remember in our prayers. If you would, keep our son Bobby and his wife Ashley in your prayers. Bobby has an upper respiratory infection and has been dealing with his, he's got chronic pancreatitis, and that's been flaring up the last few days. And then his wife Ashley has pneumonia and a respiratory infection. Also, if you haven't had a chance to meet him, Mark Eubank, no relation, right over here. You can tell we're not related, even though we're both extremely handsome. But his mother passed away recently, and we were talking before Bible class this morning about how he and his brothers and sisters have had the opportunity, the good opportunity, to be able to care for her the last couple of years, literally 24/7. There was 9 children, and they rotated being able to, they had the privilege of caring for their mother as she suffered with Alzheimer's these last couple of years. And he let us know that she is a faithful Christian, and she's going to be one of those witnesses cheering us on now. So prayers for the family at this time, and there's some comfort for them knowing her outcome. Also, if you would remember Jeff Craig, Jeff's been sick some time now. You know, he's going to finally be going to the doctor tomorrow. If you would, keep him in your prayers. Also, Ann has requested prayers for safe travel for Preston and Shannon as they return home tonight from out of town. And she wants prayers that she continues to take advantage of, as she says, the many, many opportunities she gets every day to share the gospel with people and let her light shine. And she also asked prayers for the strong Christian women of this congregation. And I'll second that one, Ann. We got some strong women. Niger requests prayers. Where's Niger? I just saw her. There she is. You're not sitting in your normal spot. I was looking for you back there. Don't be changing seats on me. Niger is going to be flying out tonight. She's going to be spending the week in Boise with work, and she requests prayers for safe travels. Let's go to God in prayer real quick on behalf of these people, and then we'll get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. Dear God, we just mentioned a number of people that have different and unique needs. We are thankful that we can come to you in prayer. We ask that you be with those, be with the families of those members, and comfort them, strengthen them. We continue to ask for help with Raven and Kurt as he's recovering from his surgery. We ask that you be with Mark's family and those that are traveling, Niger and Shannon and Preston. We ask that you be with Jeff as he's been sick and not feeling well, and we hope that the doctor will be able to treat him properly. Dear God, we ask that you be with our congregation, be with the work that the men do, be with the work that the women do. We are blessed with so many strong Christians in this location, and we pray that we will continue to work and to serve you for your sake, not our sake, but for your sake. Dear God, we ask that you be with the missionaries that we help support, those in Kenya, those in India, Mexico, South Korea, that they have fruitful work and that their efforts will not return void. Dear God, be with us as we continue our worship to you, and we pray everything through your Son Jesus. Amen. Couple of events that are coming up. One, the area-wide singing is today, starting at 2:00 up at Bright Angel. And then next Thursday is the Serving Our Kids, where we get together and we bag food for underprivileged children. That is this Thursday at 6:00. There's a sign-up sheet for that if you plan on going to that. Let's go ahead and get into our lesson. It's the story of two men that knew each other, two men that I assume at one time were close, Judas and Peter. Different outcomes, different paths that they took, and a number of the things that we see in the Bible about them, hopefully we can glean some information and learn from their mistakes and learn from the things that they did good. Judas was an apostle. He was in charge. In John 13, we see that he was in charge of the money box, the funds that the apostles used to collectively do the work that Jesus would have them do. He was in charge of that money for their benefit. In Matthew 26, this is a passage that Frank read earlier. In Matthew 26, starting in verse 20, the setting of this is what we refer to as the Last Supper. And this was the last opportunity that Jesus would have with all of them before he would be arrested. And I will use the word trial, even though it really wasn't a trial. It was a kangaroo court, if anything, and his execution. Starting in verse 20, it says, "When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as is written of him. But woe to that man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." This setting, Judas knew. He'd already put into plans his effort to betray Jesus. And so when he asked Jesus, you know, "Rabbi, is it I?" he already knew that it was him. He knew that he was in the process of betraying the Lord. He's asking Jesus this, it appears, to find out if Jesus knew or not, which he finds out that yes, he did. In Mark 14, verses 10 and 11, says, "Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him." That word conveniently is not only used in the sense of how Judas could easily put into action, but also how I can do it behind the scenes without blatantly coming right out and saying, "Here he is, grab him." Where he can kind of do it as an inside job and maybe other people not find out. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Matthew 27, starting verse 3, says, "Then Judas," and this is after the fact, after Jesus had been crucified, "then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? You see to it.'" There's no doubt Judas was sorry for what he had done. When he realized, when that sin hit him in the face, he was cut to the heart. Very similar to the people on the day of Pentecost. When they heard those things, verse 37 of Acts 2, it said they were cut to the heart. He was cut to the heart. He was remorseful. "I wish I wouldn't have done it." He goes back to him and says it and gives him the silver back. And they say, "What is that to us? We could care less. We could care less how you feel about this. You deal with it however you want. We got our way." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He was that remorseful that he hung himself. He was beside himself. He couldn't deal with it, couldn't face it, couldn't make amends for it. Might have not wanted to face the other 11 after this. How could he go back to them after what he had done? Couldn't face them. Pride got in the way. Let's look at a different character, a different man. Similar situation, but different reactions. Peter was a professional fisherman. He was in business with his brother Andrew and with James and John, the sons of thunder. Don't you know, when they all got together, the scene it might have been, the sons of thunder and Peter together? You know, it must have been a raucous time more than once. In John 13, starting in verse 36, it says, "Simon Peter said to him," talking about Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Because Jesus had just said, where I'm going, you can't follow. And Peter was wanting to go. You're my Lord. You're my friend. Wherever you go, I'll go. And Simon Peter said, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Peter's willing to die for him. And he will down the road. He will die for Jesus. He was willing to fight for him in the garden. He's the one that drew the sword out. Willing to lay his life down. I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Wow. That's in front of the whole group. In front of the whole group. Peter, I'm sure, is no way, Jesus. There's no way. You don't know me. I would die for you. That's how close we are. In Mark 14, after Jesus had been taken away, Peter followed. After Jesus had been arrested, and after he had drawn the sword and was willing to fight for Jesus, Jesus told him, put the sword away. Peter follows and is in the courtyard while Jesus is facing his accusers and being condemned. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. He's recognized by her. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he had thought about it, he wept. He was willing to fight a mob with his sword, but he folded like a lawn chair. Thank you, Mary. He folded like a lawn chair with a servant girl. He was brave against a mob with weapons, but a servant girl, he buckles under. I like the account of this in Luke 22. It says, immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Catching eyes with Jesus after the fact, Jesus didn't say a word. But Peter saw in his face the I told you so look. I told you so. And you didn't believe me. I tried to tell you, Peter. And then he remembered those words and he went out and wept bitterly. This tough fisherman that was willing to fight for Jesus just minutes earlier is brokenhearted now and is bawling his eyes out. Talk about cut to the heart. He was. There were some similarities between the two men. They were both apostles. Both had spent time with Jesus. Spent 3 years with Jesus, hearing his teachings, seeing the lessons, being part of the crowd, watching the miracles be performed. How do you spend time with the Lord and Savior, seeing him perform miracles, healing people that are blind, healing people that are crippled, raising Lazarus from the dead, and not be affected by it? They both regretted what they did. But the difference, there was difference between the two. Peter repented. He grew from it. He grew in spite of it. And spent the rest of his life serving Jesus. You read in the book of Acts the man Peter became. Read in 1 and 2 Peter, his writings, the man he became, a pillar of strength, became an elder, not only an apostle, an elder. He matured, he grew from the situation because he allowed himself to. He was humble enough to repent and to face the others. And ultimately, he would give his life for Jesus. It is historically recorded how Peter was crucified upside down at his request because he felt he wasn't worthy to die like his Lord. He requested to be crucified upside down. Judas, he died also, but he killed himself. He had so much to offer. He had as much to offer as Peter did. He had witnessed the same things. He could have reached the same amount of people that Peter did. But he didn't allow himself that opportunity. He couldn't bring himself, possibly out of pride. He couldn't change. He couldn't face other people. So he took his life. There's no doubt he was remorseful. The Word of God says so. But he didn't do what it took to make amends for it. Not that we're going to run off and kill ourselves with sin after sin, but we have that same opportunity today. When we stumble, it hurts us. Do we repent, grow, learn from it, like Peter did, and become a great servant after that, in spite of it? Or do we not want to face it and just maybe turn and run from it like Judas did? Many people, when they have sin in their life, they run from the church. Their solution is just, I'll just leave the church. The pain will stop because I'm not reminded of the sin by seeing Christians, by the Word of God reminding me what I need to do. I'll just leave. Judas left and killed himself. So he didn't have to change. Where he didn't have to face the consequences of his actions. We have that same question, the same dilemma, the same opportunities that Peter and Judas does today, every day. How we deal with it is up to us. If there is sin in your life, if you're not a Christian, the answer is repent. It's the same solution that Peter gave the people that were cut to the heart. The same way he was cut to the heart on the day of Pentecost. 50 days later, what shall we do? They were heartbroken. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are a Christian and have sin in your life, the answer is the same. Repent. Face the music. Time to buck up and repent. Face the music and change. Go on and be a pillar and a source of strength like Peter. Whatever your need, if we can assist you today through prayers, baptism, encouraging you to repent, whatever your need, if you're looking for a church home, if you've looked at a few congregations in town and have decided that you would like to work and worship with us here at South Valley, we would welcome you and encourage you and love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.